I'm honest. It's the world that's awful.
Hello and welcome to Two Champs and a Chomp, a Game of Thrones LCG podcast founded in 2010 by Will Lentz, myself, Brett Zeiler, and Greg Atkinson. Major props go out to FFG for putting out a great game, George R. Martin for an amazing product, Card Game DB for our hosting, and Josh Woodward to the Creative Commons licensed music you hear today. Welcome to Season 3.
Well, hi, Honest. I'm Daryl. I'm sorry I got you confused with awful. That was funny.
Also, who's on first?
Shut up, Will. Well, greetings. Welcome to another episode of Two Champs, One Chump. I'm your lovely co-host, Brett.
I'm going to go with stalwart co-host. You are a stalwart co-host.
The man of terrible people.
Unplayable?
Yes.
I beat you to the joke there.
His champion card.
Made myself bad.
Yeah. It only gets sweeter, Brett. It really does. Anytime anybody plays an arrogant contender, I'm like, ha-ha! I'm sorry.
It's okay, girl.
Maybe I'll build a deck featuring arrogant contender, in particular, for the Moonboy Classic.
Love it. Speaking of the Moonboy Classic, when's that coming up? And what is that?
You know, that's coming up here. It is the first weekend in February. It's our attempt to kick off the pre-regional competitive play season. It's also hopefully continuing what we're hoping to be regular tournaments, flip-flopping back and forth between Springfield and Tulsa for our I-44 grudge matches. Should be pretty awesome. We're going to have Melee on Friday night, Joust on Saturday, and depending on turnout, the Melee finals may be on Saturday morning. So it should be a good time. Greg's opening up his house, and we're hoping to test out some new Melee scoring rules for
the
Melee.
How are we doing that? I really don't want to do that.
Really? Why not?
I mean...
What are your guys' idea for the scoring rules? Because I didn't listen to that episode.
Okay, what we were looking at doing, it was an idea that had struck me about how to maybe change Melee scoring so that collusion isn't maybe doesn't have the incentive that it currently has. So that instead of like the current system where you get, you know, your 3 points for every opponent you beat and then the bonus point for winning the table. Instead, you would get, now, the exact point values and what they would be hadn't been nailed down. Well, let's just say, for example, there's still 10 points possible, right? But instead, you just get 1 point for beating each opponent that you beat. And then you get points based on doing certain things during the game. So that, like, if you defend for somebody that you support, maybe that's one of the items on the list. You get a point for that. Maybe you get a point for making a different challenge against each opponent during a round. You get 1 point for doing that. So that you can kind of direct people's behavior to do these certain things and kind of reward them. You know, you could potentially have ones that are like, make a deal with another player, break a deal with another player. You know, some of those might be trickier to enforce and check off, but it gives you a way to encourage certain kinds of behavior instead of, you know, bringing non-interactive decks that knock people out of the game so that they don't have any icons, for instance.
I mean, I think getting rid of an overall champion fixes pretty much any issue I have with Melee, so as far as I'm concerned, it's really unneeded.
I mean, I guess if we have to play Melee, I I like the idea of doing something different, you know, whatever it is, because I don't really care, because as far as, like, Melee, like, the world level and stuff, like, I don't know if I'll ever play again, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I would like to give it a try, just to kind of see how it works. You know, if we play a couple rounds like that, three rounds, whatever, you know, we play the tournament at the Moon Boy that way, and afterward we're like, that just wasn't really very good, then whatever, we're done with it. If we do play through it and we're like, oh, you know, that was kind of cool, that actually, you know, like, really made me think about remembering to support people, or, you know, whatever criteria we come up with for the little checklist, you know, then maybe there's something to it. But I don't know, my opinion is we'll never know if we don't give it a shot once, at least.
I mean, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with doing something a little goofy, or have, like, a little finger award or something crazy like that. Somebody had that idea a while back. I don't know who that was, but do you guys know what I'm talking about?
You know, I have always wanted to play a little finger tournament. I've never gotten to before.
That'd be pretty cool.
Those sound pretty awesome. Heck, maybe we could... You know, that's another possible way to change some stuff up. Have a little finger award of some kind.
But yeah, so that was a really long way to go about advertising the Moon Boy tournament.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Some of that may very well disappear in editing. It's obvious I'm going to have to do more editing on this episode than you.
Yeah.
But oh well, them's the breaks. So yeah, Moon Boy Classic. First weekend in February. I'm sure nobody in the Thrones community cares about the Super Bowl, so come do this instead.
Except for me, I care about the Super Bowl.
I don't know why. Couldn't you just watch it later?
Couldn't you just play your Thrones later?
No. Not if a tournament starts at a certain time and ends at another certain time.
It's just the idea of, like, seeing it live and stuff.
I guess I just don't
know. You're not a sports fan if you, like, you know, like, just one of those things. You can't just watch it later. Because then, totally, like, the score gets leaked and you already know the score. So if you already know the score, like, why would you watch?
I mean, if that's all you care about, then why wouldn't you just do something else with your afternoon and see the score later?
But I don't care about that. I want the thrill of not knowing the score while I'm watching it.
I think what Daryl actually means is he wants to watch the commercials before they're spoiled for him online.
See, I also have no interest in that.
I don't care about,
like,
commercials.
Absolutely none.
Well, never mind then.
Yeah.
Really, the Super Bowl just does absolutely nothing for me in any way.
Are you
Unless,
sure?
Like, Taylor Swift is doing the halftime show. Then I'd be interested.
Hopefully it's One Direction.
I don't hope that.
I just learned what One Direction was last week. Do you know what that is?
It's a British boy band.
It's insane. It's crazy.
Yes, it is. So before we devolve into a boy band podcast...
Which I could totally do.
Oh, I know you could, man.
I mean, I'm an O-Town kind of guy at the end of the day.
Wow, man, I remember that show.
Damn right you did. Wait, there was a show?
Yeah, it was a reality TV show.
Wait, I thought it was a band.
No, it started off as a reality TV show where an established artist in the music industry, it was kind of like The Voice or something now, right? These people came and auditioned, and this established artist picked out who he wanted to be in the boy band, and then they put it together and stuff, and that band was O-Town. Do you know who the established musician was? It might blow your mind.
I didn't know there was an established artist in O-Town.
No. He was not in it.
A couple of teenage boys.
There was actually teenagers. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know who.
Man, that sounded really weird whenever I said it like that, though.
It was. Oh, what are you about to guess?
Hang on. Let me guess. It was. I don't know.
It was Mr. Sean Puffy Combs.
Oh.
At least I think that was the name he was going by
Puff
at the time.
Daddy.
He changed his names too often.
Yes, very often. But yes, it was originally a show called Making the Band.
Exactly.
You totally just Wikipedia'd that, didn't you, Brett?
I mean, I did. I knew it was a TV show, but I Wikipedia'd the name of it, absolutely.
I Wikipedia'd none of that information, and I don't even like boy bands.
Oh, yeah, I don't like them either.
Me neither.
Yeah.
So, topics for this week.
Yeah, topics. We had talked in the last episode that I had these gentlemen on about maybe doing a deck building episode sometime. We'd spent some time kind of discussing the Demon's Dance Targ deck that had been floating around at Worlds and misunderstood who'd been playing it.
Apparently.
I believe in the comments it was corrected. I believe it was actually the Spanish champ who was playing it and not the French champ Makar. So my bad for getting that flip-flopped. But we thought we'd try our hand at putting together some variety of Demon's Dance deck.
Yep. Targ, Maester, Baester, loving it.
Yep. And before we transition into that part, I want to go ahead and warn our listeners. There is probably a great deal of typing that you will hear in that episode as we go search for cards and click and add them. We definitely had some audio issues this episode.
If you haven't already noticed.
Yeah, we wound up having to record this one by Skype, and we had several audio issues getting everyone in the call okay. But for some reason, a couple of our mics are picking up keyboard noises much more clearly than they did in our last Skype deck building episode back when we had Damon on the show. So I apologize profusely for you having to hear those sort of noises, because believe me, I understand how infuriating they can be to listen to. But oh well.
Yeah. We don't care. We still wanted to make the episode. So
exactly.
You'll deal.
And the deck,
and if you don't want to deal, you can turn it off. It's an awesome deck.
Go back and listen to an old favorite episode again if you don't want to listen to this one.
Favorite episode.
Yeah.
Every episode,
fire, fireplace with a nice glass of scotch and relive an oldie but a goodie.
So without further ado, Targ, Maester, Baester, whatever the hell Daryl said.
I mean, if you don't want us to do it, we can do something else. Zyler said we had talked about maybe doing a Demon's Dance deck.
We had mentioned that last time we were podcasting.
Ooh, I like the idea of Demon's Dance. Let's do it out of Maesters and Bear, bitch. Bear Maesters. Demon's motherfucking dance. That sounds fun. No?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with that. I think it's better at Targ Maesters, personally.
I'm leaning towards Targ Maesters myself, but I can see an argument for Vera. I mean, because that does give the crown, which is the easiest way to change seasons.
That's true, but you lose out on
Curgeon.
The one that's the dude that searches for attachments.
Yeah.
Oh, the Warlock.
Red River Warlock, yeah.
I thought that's only when it's summer, though.
I mean, yeah, it is only when it's summer, but, I mean, in a Demon's Dance deck, you play seasons.
That's true. Okay. Well, either way, I guess Targaryen's fine, because that does let you search for Demon's Dance. I guess you really won't be able to play your Demon's Dance unless you can search for it. I mean, I was thinking, as far as like a Demon's Dance deck would go, I would run probably 10 chains anyway, so I'm going to have a pretty thin deck.
Whoa, 10 chains?
Yeah, I was thinking 10 chains.
Not 2 chains?
Not 2 chains. And the idea, you know, you get that 50-card deck. The idea in a Demon's Dance deck, it's not going to be, it's full control. A deck like that, I don't see it trying to be like an aggro deck. You're killing off their most important characters, and then you're just controlling the board from there. So I think 10 chains would probably be about perfect. Because then you get a lot of chains for your lead link and your recursion links and, you know. Unless I'm wrong.
I mean, 10 chains is a lot of chains, bro.
Okay. I mean, maybe 10 chains is a lot, but I don't know. I've always had success. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's because I haven't played in a serious tournament, but I've always had success with my Maester decks having a fair amount of chains, like doing more than just the standard 4 or 5 that everyone likes to run. I mean, you'd be, you know, surprised how often the Black Iron Link or the regular Iron Link works, you know? I mean, I don't think, you know, and Pale Steel is going to be key here. And then we need, you obviously need your Bronze Link and Valerian.
Well, Bronze Link? Bronze Maester now?
Yeah, ouch.
Oh, Bronn. I get it.
Yeah. Bronn the Sellswords Link. Well, an Apprentice Caller, which you didn't mention.
Yeah, well, I was getting there, but, you know, but think about how big, like, really think about what the Iron Link does. Like, holy crap, +2 strength and a military icon. Like, that is huge.
I mean, it's solid. It's not core to what the deck's wanting to do, though.
Yeah, I don't think I would play it.
I can potentially get behind thinning the deck.
Thinning it. And it's a very useful link. And my other thought is, well, what are you going to do when you're not able to kill a guy? What happens whenever they do throw out a guy who is no attachments and he's a big 7 strength army, like the Viper's Bannerman or something?
I mean, I assume, well, 7 strength could be an issue, but otherwise, I assume you just burn it with Incinerate.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we're going to have enough. I mean, let's just start to build. Hopefully, we're going to have enough characters with the same trait. You know?
Yeah. Well, let's take a look at the links then that we can at least agree our auto includes. Apprentice Caller, right?
I mean, not even necessarily.
I kind of agree with Zyla, but at the same time, it makes your linked advisors incredible. So I would.
I mean, if I was going through saying auto include links, those are Bronze Link.
Absolutely.
Lead Link.
Absolutely.
Pale Steel Link.
Gotta have it.
Valerian.
And Valerian Steel Link. I mean, not even necessarily 10 Link. I mean, it'll probably be in there, but...
10 Link will absolutely be on there.
Well, I mean, that just puts us at 4 without the Apprentice Caller, 5 with the Apprentice Caller.
I added the Apprentice Caller for mine, and I think it should be on there.
Yeah, I did as well. I really think there's enough... anti-maester tech still floating around that extra addition of the maester trait is going to be useful.
Another auto include I feel is the copper link, and the reason why is because I see no reason not to put Jorah and Dario in here, or as I like to call them, Jario.
Yeah, I mean, and potentially you can do some extra Raven. Actually, the 10 Link, I'm thinking maybe should go in to do some extra Raven stuff with Copper.
Mm-hmm. Copper Link, fair enough.
That way you can potentially, say you've got like a Black Raven but don't have a White Raven yet, you can potentially discard your own Black Raven, get it back, and then replay it, and you've changed the season from nothing into summer again.
Mm-hmm.
And killed something with Demon's Dance, but I don't know.
Is that convoluted. How it works? I thought it has to change from summer to...
Oh, winter. Sorry. You know, I'm looking at chains, and I did not have Demon's Dance called up. Let me get it called up and make sure that I'm not misremembering.
No, I'm pretty sure you're right, Will.
Yeah, it's just after it changes to winter or to summer, you can
kill. Oh, okay.
So... it can change from nothing to something.
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't have to just change from one to the other. So I would definitely say then that we ought to go with copper and tin.
Yeah.
And thinking about those links, something else in favor of Apprentice Caller, particularly doing this out of Targ, I think it works really well for them. because of Lady Dany's chambers. You may get your maesters killed off, in which case the apprentice collar goes to the discard pile, and since it's zero cost, essentially then any target character you play gets it back, then now you can play it on one of your characters and get a maester. Obviously, it's not going to help you move anything off of your agenda if they're still there, but at least it lets you start getting those back out of the discard pile to keep using them. So, I think it's a good move.
Alright, so we have Apprentice Collar, we have Copper Link, we have Lead Link, we have Pale Steel Link, we have Tin Link, and we have Valyrian Steel Link.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's six chains.
I mean, God, there's...
I've got seven. I think we must have missed something.
Apprentice Collar, Copper Link, Lead Link.
I have seven as well.
Pale Steel Link, and Valyrian Steel Link. What am I missing?
Bronze? Did you say bronze?
I did not say bronze.
Bronze. Okay. That one's bronze.
Okay. No, I'm at seven.
Okay.
I mean, I only read through my list twice, guys. I mean, it's an alphabetical order. Come on.
Yeah. Well, man.
Just
so many,
seven.
So many other links.
I mean, I think seven's a good number.
Okay, let's start with seven. Just let's think about maybe adding the steel link. I know that one's kind of coming out of the left field, but
what would it do?
You know, Aegon's Hill. You know, it's just whenever the maester does kneel. So if we do kneel to throw in our pale steel to kill this guy, we're triggering this link to stand our Aegon's Hill, or I don't know, who knows what else we could be running. Just an idea. If we're going to run some influence, you could stand an influence providing location, you know, to use more influence later. Just a thought. You know, we don't have to do anything now.
I could get behind that. There are quite a few things in Targaryen that I think that stealing works very well with.
So, just a thought. So let's leave it out for now, and then if we see that we've added some locations or something like that we feel could benefit, or if we need the extra thinned out spot,
right,
if you will.
Okay, so next step in the deck then probably are our ravens. The question is, in a deck like this with recursion, the possibility of just some search, and the deck's going to be thinned and stuff, how many copies of each of the seasonal ravens do we need? Do we need three of each?
I like two of each.
Okay.
See,
that's what I've been leaning towards.
I was thinking three black, two white, but maybe that's weird. Just because a lot of the good stuff out of Targ, you know, hits off summer, and the warlock that's going to search has to be summer. Just hoping that I could draw into that black raven before I needed to use my search plot. And I could search out the White Raven, but I could see two of each being fine.
I mean, you have a point there with the Black Raven it being the arguably more important one.
Yeah. It's not a bad point. We could roll with three of it at the moment, and again, at, you know, as Daryl said, kind of see as we go. If we wind up needing an extra slot down the road, we could pull it, or, you know, just see how things go.
Okay. So we'll say three black for now, two white.
Mm-hmm. And while we're on the Raven, kind of...
Carrion Birds?
No, yeah. I feel like Carrion Birds are still a good idea. Particularly, they're cheap and stealthy. I mean, it's just... It's hard not to love that. Shuffling... Ravens back into decks isn't going to be as big of a deal.
Unless we have a black raven already on our house and then a black raven in hand, we can shuffle it back and then make it summer again.
Right. You know, that is actually a good point. I think that's the deciding factor there.
Okay. I also like carrion birds. just to help your setup. I feel like in this deck, the thing that's going to hurt it most is the setup. You know, those maesters are going to cost us an arm and a leg, and so on and so forth. So I love the idea of carrion birds.
I'm down with the three carrion birds. Yeah. Now, you mentioned maesters, Daryl.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a look at what maesters we do have available to us. Neutral and Targaryen. We've got Advisor to the Crown. Now, we don't have
any
boss influence right now, but I think there's a good chance that we will.
It's very likely to end up with something that will take
it. So I'm wondering if we ought to have one or two Advisors to the Crown in the deck. I don't know. We may just come back to that based on whether we grab some stuff that costs influence.
Yeah, I would put one, maybe two, but that's just me.
I mean, we should probably hold off until we have something that definitely needs influence. It will not shock me if we do, but right now we don't know we will.
Fair enough. Okay. Then we've got Archmaester Ibaros, who I've just never been a fan of.
Nope.
I mean, unless I wanted to build just some kind of fun Shaga deck trying to claim 15 power with him or something. But for this deck, I don't think he's the right call.
I mean, now there is potential for a Maester deck that doesn't actually run the agenda, that just runs a bunch of chains in the deck to play them on Ibaros.
Exactly. And that would be a fun deck.
But entirely unrelated to this conversation.
Exactly. Okay, so moving on. Marwyn, then. Yeah. Fits even less than Ibaros.
I mean, to be fair, neutral Archmaester Marwyn, yes. We should be playing.
Yeah, sorry. I guess I just kind of assumed here, since I'm going through the order on Card Game DB, it pulls the neutral one above Targaryen, thanks to alphabetical order of factions. yes. Targ Marwyn, I think, definitely goes in, though.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Probably just one copy.
One for now, but I could be argued up to two.
Yeah. He's an interesting one, just in this deck in particular, where we want to be cycling things in and out of our own discard pile quite a bit, because Marwyn's recursion puts the choice in the opponent's hand as far as what goes to the bottom of your deck, what goes back to your hand, and what goes on the top of your discard pile. So we have to be very careful. There's stuff that we definitely want in our discard or hand, and we use Marwyn. A smart opponent is going to put that on the bottom of the deck.
I mean, we just don't choose those cards, and we make them give us back other cards.
Oh, right.
Good cards.
Fair enough.
Well, you can't choose.
Him,
I thought it was random.
I was reading him as your opponent chooses the three also.
No, you choose the three. Read the card, guy.
Yeah, my bad.
Yeah, I only have
the picture up in front of me right now.
It's a rookie mistake.
That's right. I've even pulled this off. What am I thinking? Isn't there a card that like returns cards at random? Maybe not.
Yeah, one Maybe of the new armies.
The Golden Company, the Targ one.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay. Yeah, sorry. That's what I get for not looking at the card we're talking about.
Okay. So one Targ Marwyn for now. Initiate? I'm not really feeling Initiate of the Citadel.
Not really.
Nope.
Linked Advisor, on the other hand.
For sure. I'm
absolutely
three of that sucker.
I'm going to go ahead and put four in mine.
You would. You disgust me, Daryl.
It's a good call. and then we've got Maester Aemon. I am going to say a copy of
the neutral
is a good idea.
Yes.
But probably just one. The Targ one is going to be a little too risky, since we do want it to be winter sometimes.
I mean, also the Targ one can take
attachments.
Chain attachments.
Yeah, you have no attachment to the Boon. That is so... Why?
Well, he came out a couple sets before Chains. I'm imagining the Chains were not even an inkling in Nate's eye at the time.
Yeah.
Okay, and then somehow I seem to have accidentally searched up some Stark results as well. So I'll skip over those and go to Old Town Advisor. Now, I did play this guy in a one of the Lannister Infamy Beric decks back over the summer, and he was surprisingly awesome, but probably not right for this deck.
I concur.
Yeah, every time I've used the Old Town Advisor, it's been in kind of a more just kind of goofy deck, and man, it's been great whenever he's worked, but you know, Venomous Blade and other things like that just make me not want to run him, especially for the cost and him not and him being neutral. We're not going to be able to hit our incinerates off of him.
Right. Gives us Old Town Scholar.
Two or three. I mean, I've been going with two copies right now.
And I'm yeah. leaning towards three. Daryl was talking about setup earlier. It is a maester. It's nice for setup at that rate. And, you know, without him in the mix at all, we're just sitting at five maesters. Three copies of him would put us at six. I think that feels like a really good idea.
Fair enough. I mean,
I really like the idea of two, but yeah, I could see three, I guess.
I mean, I already collect three into the deck, so it's final.
All right. Well, there we go. No taking them back.
Okay, and I think I said six a minute ago, and I meant to say eight. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, and then also three conclaves.
Yes, three conclaves. Let's move on. We don't even need to talk about it. It's the conclaves,
especially if we're doing the three Old Town Scholars. Those play very quickly.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yep.
Okay.
Next up, do we add Joran Daria?
Pretty much a given, I think, in any card deck right now, especially since we've got that Copper Link.
Hell yeah.
That'll be actually pretty good with them.
I'm just going to go ahead and add my search to characters. Just any Targaryen character, I guess I'll start with.
Okay.
I don't want to go through every card, but
it is also worth mentioning, guys, we should probably put three copies of Demon's Dance in the deck. We haven't actually done that yet.
I knew I had another attachment.
I did it already.
Hit on before we got away from those. Okay, three Demon's Dance it is. You know, and while we're on it, as far as Demon's Dance tech goes, we probably ought to go ahead and grab Danius Chambers.
More than likely. That'll be a fairly natural fit.
Now the question is, one copy, two copies, or three copies for this deck?
I'm thinking two to start off with. I could be argued up to three for this deck in particular.
I'm thinking, since we're going to have the recursion chain on the house card, that we're probably okay with just two of the chambers. Plus, we're looking at having, what, right now, seven chains, right? With the possibility of going up to eight that we were discussing with Steel Link. So 53 or two cards helps on our odds pretty solidly. What's the search guy that we were talking
red
about?
Red Warlock?
Yeah. How many Red Warlocks are necessary for this deck, I wonder? I'm leaning towards
I honestly think two. Because
really, once we've got one of each Raven,
we don't need
should
any
be
anymore.
Good. Yeah. And we can always use the search plot to grab.
Oh, yeah. I figured that was going to be one.
So should we go ahead and throw that in?
Okay, we can get that done. So add a time for Ravens in as the first plot. As long as we're in plots, we might as well also toss in a copy of At the Gates.
Indeed.
And then two copies of the Red Warlocks, correct? The general consensus. I was also fine with that. I didn't say anything to you guys. You both beat me to it, but
gotcha.
Yeah, I was definitely thinking two.
Okay, so right now we're sitting at 18 characters, two locations, 15 attachments, and no events.
Wait, what are you at?
I've got 18
first characters.
18.
Okay, yeah, me too, okay.
Let me double-check my account real quick. Yeah, I have 18.
I guess
two locations. I only have I have 14 attachments.
I have 15 attachments.
Did you wind up putting in the three Black Ravens, Tyler?
No, I did not.
Okay. Did you just have two?
I just had two, yes.
Okay.
But I can get that done.
Now
I'm back on par.
I guess it's worth noting, just for people listening, that the Daario and Jora that we're putting in, or Daario and Jora, whatever, separate characters, they're not the same, are the ones that discard other characters.
Yes, we did not mention.
Right.
We didn't.
We mentioned in passing that they played well with the Copper Link, but we didn't really specify why. They're the trait-based discards.
So, for anyone that's not completely keeping up, you can give an opponent's character a trait in the marshalling phase before you play them, and then play them. So turn Robert into a ally, then play Jorah. Or into a knight and play Dario.
Yeah, the Copper Link is going to be pretty darn sexy.
Okay, so let's see. What else do we need to take a look at here right now? Should we go ahead and round out the character base? Maybe look at our resource base?
Resource was what I was thinking.
Yeah. I think we should round out our resources a little more as well.
Now, our icon spread is currently skewed a bit towards intrigue and power. So I'm definitely thinking both of those streets ought to go in.
I could definitely see that.
Sisters and, well, Shadow Black Lane rather than a street. But
not a street.
They all
say
that same nickname. And knowing the Targaryen character base, I'm sure we will be picking up some more military icons very soon. So I really think it is worth throwing in the Street of Steel as well. Again, helps a lot on those setups.
Also, can we take a quick pause, guys? Someone was just banging on a keyboard really loud. Or banging on something really loud.
Let me try typing something and see, because I just typed in Shadow Black. We'll see if it's me.
Yeah, it is absolutely that.
Wow. Yep. Same issue as you had. I barely hear anything in person. Are you hearing it now?
It's a lot more. There's clearly time in between, but I can still hear the individual strokes.
Wait, are you like, sure it's not me?
Is it quieter than earlier?
Are you typing right now?
Me? Yeah, that's me. Is it me?
I can't hear you doing anything, Daryl.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, I don't hear you doing anything.
Okay.
Well, we'll just have to apologize all around for typing noises.
Yeah.
Man, I didn't remember them getting picked up.
When we're doing with Damon, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, me neither. I don't know what's going on.
All right, so back to the episode in 3, 2, 1.
Okay, so if we're looking at setup and resources and stuff, we've got those three streets. Now, we don't have anything that uses influence yet, and we do have a lot of neutral stuff, but I'm really feeling that 3 C's are going to be a good idea.
And generally, so far, we don't actually have a ton of neutrals. I mean, there are some clearly with the Maesters, but a lot of our characters are of the Targaryen variety.
And we'll be picking up more, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, almost definitely. So 3X Summer C.
Most certainly.
All right, brings it to as far as gold producing locations. Do we have any ideas what we want to do with those?
I mean,
here's my question really quick.
Okay.
While we're talking about gold locations, are we going to want to put in a bit of a shadows theme? And I say that because Targaryen has such powerful shadows cards that to boost our income, we can also use the Kingdom of Shadows location. I think only if we're going to have the shadows characters, you know, Sorrowful Man, what is he called? Warlock of Quarth, I think, and King's Landing Assassins. But those are very resource intensive, obviously.
Right.
But that's just a thought, an idea. I don't know if that's what we're wanting to do, because if so, no reason not to put 3 Kingdoms of Shadows to boost our gold up there. But if we're not going to have any Shadows locations, then it could bite us in them.
As much as I like those guys, I'm a little worried that that is just too intensive on deck slots. We're already sitting at 41 cards if we all have the same amount right now.
I'm 41.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's why I only added 2 Summer Seas, sorry.
Okay. I'm just afraid there's just not enough room in this deck to also fit in shadow stuff right now.
I completely agree with Will. So, okay. Gold producing locations.
Yeah, you know, I'm not dead set against Kingdom of Shadows still, though, because it's not limited. But it may be better to just look at, now my brain's shutting Temple down on the producer. Yeah, Temple of Graces. That would just give us the three limited locations right now, which means odds are awfully low that limited's going to bite us in the butt. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I would do. I'm not much on the bandwagon of playing the Kingdom of Shadows in every deck, mostly because of the fact that Mirror Reed sees a ton of play in one of the most popular houses, and I'd hate to stay in my opponent's Mirror Reed.
Right. Okay, well, if we go ahead with the three temples, then we're sitting at 9 resource cards of some kind or another.
Yeah, all zero costs.
Right. This still feels a little low to me as far as resource producing cards.
Mm-hmm.
I would say I'm usually shooting for like 12 myself. But I don't know. You know, the deck size is going to be smaller overall, so we're going to be drawing into them a little faster. What do you guys think?
And keep in mind, we do also play Black Raven, so I mean, if we can time it well, we can get the extra gold off of that.
Right.
As far as changing seasons goes.
Right, some pseudo gold production there. Well, not pseudo, but a pseudo resource card there, I guess. Actual gold production is relevant.
Daryl, it sounded like you were going to say something right there.
Huh? Oh, no, I was just kind of sighing.
Okay, I heard a sigh. And...
Sorry. No, I'm just thinking... about where else we're wanting to go after this, because the next few cards are going to be the ones that's like, oh, you know, what to put in, so many options.
There are a lot of options. We do need to flesh out our character base a little bit more, and then as of right now, we are playing no events, and there are a couple that I could think of that I would definitely like to play. So going to either of those... areas of interest.
I just hit a search for targ characters, so let's look at rounding out the character base a little more, since I'm already there.
Yeah. I can go there fairly quickly as well.
Just scrolling down through the list here. Now, it's not anything particularly synergistic with the deck, but it is just a really solid character for its cost. And plays nicely with setup, which we do want, since we are a fairly combo-centric deck. I'm looking at a single copy of the Black Hatchling, the non-Shadows version.
Okay, and I can definitely get behind that. I actually, in general, prefer this Hatchling over all the others, unless I'm playing a Targ Shadows deck.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And Tricon, can't defend with it, which is meh.
Moot.
I mean, yeah. I have a 1-cost, 2-strength Tricon. I'm usually getting him in on the aggressive.
Exactly.
But yeah, like you said, he does definitely help with setup, and he's a decent character all around. Are there any of the Dannys we'd want to throw in?
+1 strength Danny.
She's my general go-to Danny, unless I really want the cheaper cost.
Right. You know, I don't have any particular argument against throwing her in.
Okay, I mean, we can also hold off. I mean, I've made plenty of decks without Dannys. I was just
None of them give a particular synergy to the deck that I notice right now is the thing. Like I said, the Black Hatchling doesn't either, aside from setup, and none of the Dannys play super well with setup. So at best with the 3-cost. The 4-cost ones definitely don't play very well with setup.
Very accurate. All right. I mean, just jumping down, other targ characters that could be considered potentially auto includes or often includes Jogo, the card draw Jogo. I very rarely make a targ deck without him in it.
I would definitely say the deck deserves a copy of that Jogo.
All right, I will toss a copy in then. And then something else, as I was just browsing, one of my absolute favorite pet Targaryen characters that may definitely have a space in this deck, Krasnus Mo'Naklaz.
Oh, snap.
This summer, choose an opponent's attachment in play. Pay that attachment's printed gold cost to take control of that attachment and attach it to a card of your choice. I love this guy. And we are playing Quasi-Summer.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down with it. I don't know how many times there will be opponent's attachments floating around, but there may be some Maester chains at least. He does own Maester mirror matches.
That is very accurate. He's also great with Frozen Solids. Mm-hmm. You know, your opponent has a Frozen Solid to deal with one of your, like, your 10 link or something like that, and you can just move it somewhere else.
Yep.
I absolutely love these. Absolutely my pet Targaryen character. Okay. I guarantee both these guys that I'm talking to have hated me when I played them in the melees.
Yeah, you can kiss my balls. I can't stand them. Yeah, especially whenever you're trying to do like a Barrack Infamy Maester deck, and you have Krasnos taking everything. You're like, you ass. Jumping down a little bit, what do you guys think about Long Lances? Now,
I think Long Lances is an amazing card right here, or right now, that is, sorry. I don't know if it... Well, I guess, yeah. I was about to say I don't know how well it combines, because we're
some of them.
Right now not looking at having influence for ambushing stuff. But I guess, you know, we can always Valyrian Steel Link for draw or Gold Link for gold, then just marshal a character and stand that Maester.
That's fair.
Long Lances may not be a bad idea, even if we're not really looking at anything much in the way of ambush.
I would want to have some kind of ambush stuff, truly. Like, they're all right if you can get just, like, an extra use out of, like, your card draw or something, but when they... Long Lances are incredible in a Maester deck. I'm not sure if they're necessarily incredible in this Maester deck unless we go back and rework some stuff to make room for more ambushing.
Mm-hmm.
You guys can overrule me if you want, but...
Yeah, it's kind of tricky. If I've got that we're at 47 cards right now before the Long Lances, right?
Let me double check.
Oh, God, I'm at 48. What did I do? Did you add Krasnus in, Will?
Seven.
Yes, I have Krasnus. Just one copy. Also, just one Jogo.
Did you guys add Danny?
No.
Okay, so I was the only one. All right, I'll take Danny away. Jeez, we need characters.
So it's fairly character low at the moment. But if we add in Long Lances, let's just kind of follow this hypothetical train of thought. That brings us up to 50 cards total and 24 characters total. Now, if we run Long Lances... I pretty strongly feel that Street Waif is an auto-include to go with the Long Lances, because the two can just be sick together.
I mean, again, I agree if we have more ambushing stuff.
Right. That's why I'm tracking out here. If we went with three of them and the Long Lances, that puts us then up to 53 cards, which leaves us seven cards to work in both more influence for ambush and some actual ambush characters. I'm thinking that's probably not enough cards to do that with.
I agree.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate because of how much I like the Long Lances.
I mean, Long Lances are incredible in Targ Maester decks, but in this specific Targ Maester deck, since we do have so many extra cards, like, and we have right now, eight extra card slots dedicated to Season/Demon's Dance that could potentially be influence providing locations or... ambush characters.
Yeah,
I don't know if there's enough slots available.
There's not a whole lot of wiggle room. I feel with what we've got in the deck right now. But if we're looking at rounding out the deck with some other stuff, though,
there are a couple other quick things that I do want to bring up. Samuel Tarly.
Yep.
With
Sam's a great idea.
I did two copies of Sam. Do you do this similar, or only one copy, or up to three copies? What are your opinions?
I think two seems pretty solid. Gives us decent odds on getting him. And we've got a total of eight Ravens in the deck. We're going to be cycling them back and forth.
Several of the seasonal Ravens back and forth.
Yeah, I think he'll be as long as he stays in play anyway, will be generating a lot of extra draw for us. I'm going to flip back to the Targ characters, though, just to make sure whether there's anything else just in the Targ realm that's worth. Is a copy of Pyat Pri worth going in?
One of the other ones that I was going to mention. I'm a fairly big fan of Pyat Pri.
Okay, he's another
one. Yeah, here's a card I may be proposing, and maybe I'm nuts, and I realize that with the Demon's Dance being the kind of the centric card here, but we also have a fair amount of, well, I'm hoping that we're going to have a fair amount of giving characters, you know, minus strength and whatnot. With the web link, and if we burn a little more, but maybe Shadow Parasite. Like, I know I'm
big on that card.
I've never been big on it either, but you know, I could see it having some utility here. Again, something helping our setup. It's got the ally keyword, which we could maybe use to our advantage with an incinerate.
If this was a pretty burn heavy deck, I could sure get behind it. I've got a column together, my next article for all things Shaga, which hopefully will be up on Card Game DB by the time this episode of the podcast goes up. It got delayed a little bit because of the server issues. It's a Dragon Egg deck using Illyrio, so zero cost ambush characters suddenly have a big home, so the Shadow Parasites are nice. Especially great in that sort of deck, at least in my mind, because you can jump them in for zero, burn something with Illyrio, and then immediately get strength with the Shadow Parasite and use it in a challenge. But without considerably more burn, I just don't think they're going to have strength in this deck.
Sorry. I agree. One other card, it's similar in vain to the Long Lances, although with less use that you can get out of it, a single copy of Young Griff. It does let you get extra use out of Macers in the Marshalling phase and then reuse them in the challenge phase as far as the chains go. And he's just a solid character all around.
He is just solid all around. I can probably get behind that, give us something in that. Just kind of beefier middle range of characters to use.
All right, so sitting at, by my account, 51 cards right now, 25 characters, 11 locations, and 15 attachments.
Sorry, did you say... sorry, I was looking at characters. 25 characters, 11 locations, 15 attachments?
That's exactly what I have.
Okay, good deal.
At this time, we have 9 cards left in the deck. I'd like to check out some events, possibly, and then maybe round out some additional locations. Because right now, all we have as far as locations go is Lady Danny's Chambers and Resources.
Yeah, you know, as weird as it is, and this may overlap some with the slots that you were thinking about for events, I'm kind of curious about some other attachments. Because, you know, we've got those Lady Danny's Chambers, a couple copies of those. And the, let's see, Bronze Link, is it? Yeah. They were looking at making sure we get some use out of. I almost wonder if we shouldn't look at a kill event like, or sorry, a kill attachment like, say, Flamekissed. Even if we aren't going to be ambushing it, having another attachment that we actually for sure are wanting to recur doesn't seem like a terrible idea.
I can potentially get behind that, although keep in mind that at this point we do have sitting at 8 cards right now that can't be played on, that means 8 attachments that can't be played on setup, several other attachments that are all chains that are off the house card. So we are getting fairly close to where I usually like to cut off my cards I just cannot play on setup.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I just think we're getting to the point where we also just can't afford to add those guys in. I mean, how many? I have 24 characters. Do you guys have 25?
Yes.
Is that right? Did you guys add somebody that I didn't add?
Probably.
Okay, but
did you add Young Griff?
I did add Young Griff.
Did you add Pyat Pri?
I did not add Pyat Pri. That's why. Every time I try to run Pyat Pri, it ends up sucking balls for me. Damn you, Piapri. Man, I don't know. We still don't have our events. Got 9 cards left. It would be tough for me not to put in 3 or 4 more characters and then my events and then call it good.
I mean, what events are you thinking, Daryl?
I'm definitely thinking Incinerate. And then, you know, just add to the tempo play and to continue to be able to use, you know, the Copper Link. And then we have Jorah and Dario. Why wouldn't we play Dissension? I mean, discarding some guys, killing some other ones with the changes season.
Yeah, Dissension is a big one. As far as Incinerate goes, over at this time right now, we have... let's see, as far as allies go, we have Piapri, Krasnus, Red Warlock, and Jorah. So there's not a ton of allies. And for Macers, we have Marwyn, Linked Advisor. And those, as far as I can tell, are the only same trait things that we're playing at this time. So I don't think Incinerate has a place in this deck, right now at least.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I also don't think we have enough influence, really, to run Incinerate.
Exactly.
We
don't
have any
3 cards with influence. So... yeah, I guess if we would have wanted to use it, then, yeah.
Yeah, so, that's also a very
good
point.
Breaks my heart.
I mean, Incinerate's a great card, but it's not for every deck. But are we in agreement on Dissension?
I could get behind that. How many are you thinking?
3.
Again, Dissension is a card I default 2. I could be argued into going up to 3, especially since we do have Copper Links for trait manipulation, but 2 is what I usually default to for Dissensions. Aside from Dissension, though, the other event that I've been playing a decent amount of recently is Nightmares. I can definitely get behind putting some Nightmares in the deck.
I actually really feel Nightmares. You know? Yeah, I could totally see that.
I've really been digging Nightmares lately. In particular, I think Nightmares has a good spot in this deck. If we can get into, a marshalling phase where we can set up our season-changing loop, and there's a problematic no-attachments character on the board, we can Nightmare them, then play the Demon's Dance, change the season, and kill off that character.
That's very, very fair. I like the way you're thinking, Will. So, as far as Nightmares goes, I mean, again, I'm feeling 2, but I could be convinced to go up to 3.
I'm feeling 2, and I don't want to go to 3, personally.
The only other event that I would personally want to put in the deck is Much and More. Now, I'm still going to go on record saying this card isn't the be-all, end-all, greatest card ever made. But in a deck like this, where it is fairly combo-centric, where you are trying to dig for a Demon's Dance or the Raven you need to change the season,
right,
I think Much definitely has a place in this deck.
Yeah, we are digging for specific stuff. I mean, we're building a combo deck right now.
Yeah.
And when we reviewed the card, we said, Much and More is a card for combo decks. And we acknowledged that it was good in those decks. So, yeah, I could get behind that. Three Much and Mores?
That's what I put.
Okay.
Yeah, so that
and puts it... events, final numbers, did you wind up going with 2 Dissension and 2 Nightmares, or did you go with 3 Dissensions?
2 Dissension, 2 Nightmares, 3 Much and More.
Okay.
So that's up to 7.
Okay, that brings us up to 58 total cards.
58 total cards. We have 2 more cards left.
I'd be tempted to go with characters because our character count looks a little low to me at just 25.
I mean, I could see that. Other things, what I was mainly jumping to was 2 cards that, again, are, if not Targ auto includes, Targ often includes, a copy of Meraxes and a copy of Aegon Sale.
I'm definitely thinking Meraxes. Aegon Sale, I'm still on the fence about.
Now, we are using those Much and More. We do know that Aegon's Hill combines very nicely with Much and More. So that's a consideration for sure.
I mean, for my 2 cents, those are what we use our last two slots on. Yes, we are fairly character light. But a decent amount of our characters have, like, Dario, Jorah, and Red Warlocks all do something extra when you play them. The Macers are all solid. Really, I think that between all our, I mean, for the most part, all of our characters are really solid. And we are playing, hopefully, a ton of kill effects with the recurring Demon's Dances. I think hopefully that would be able to help out with the any kind of character disparity there would be between us and our opponent. Just, I mean, that's just how I feel.
I can get behind that. That works for me. That brings us to even six.
One thing is, are we just gonna? So we're just changing the seasons with the Ravens, right? So we're not gonna try to run the Crown.
I don't.
It only goes on unique characters, anyways, right?
Correct.
Right.
So it'd be worthless in this deck. Okay.
Yeah, I think we're safe just sticking with the birds.
Yep, I mean, but between the time for Raven plot that can search for whichever one we need, and then the Red Warlock also potentially searching for what we need, between all of that, much and more, Samwell draws and Valyrian ceilings, I doubt we'll have much of an issue getting one of each Raven in order to chain season switching. Your silence makes me feel like I am thinking incorrectly.
No, sorry. I was looking at charts here on CardGameDB. I'll be eager to check things out when Darkspain has time to get back to the Thrones deck builder and implement some of the other stats that folks have been asking for, like icon count, because that's what I was kind of looking for. Cost curve is looking very nice for setups at the moment. But, yeah, I was just kind of skimming through icons. It still feels to me like we're a little light on military, just kind of looking at, but I'm not actually adding up the actual icons. Let me add those up. 11 military icons.
Now, I don't know how you guys would feel about it, but do you think that maybe we should entertain the idea of adding one copy of the Citadel of Old Town? I just feel like it could save us in the long run. You got a bunch of chains on your linked advisor. They Valor. Because right now there's no saves in this deck.
Actually, there's Mr. Amon, but...
No, there's no good saves in this deck. No, I'm kidding. Mr. Amon's awesome, but he can only save himself in this deck. Unless you copper... You know, and I'm not even going to get into it.
I mean, unless you copper link
this guy. Huh?
Unless you copper link, unless you use another Maester pre-plot to use a copper link to give someone else the Night's Watch trait and the Maester Amon saves them.
God. I just think that it would be a good idea. Maybe I'm wrong, but I mean, that could also save you a bunch of chains. You know, if you got your bronze link on an unprotected Maester.
Daryl, I can get behind this in theory. We are right now at exactly 60 cards. What would you cut?
One Lady Danny's Chambers, because we already have our Bronze Link.
Man, if there's an answer to the Bronze Link,
then all is lost. Then hopefully we draw into our Lady Danny's Chambers. How often is there an answer to Bronze Link? I mean, come on.
I mean, fair enough.
Uh-oh. Better watch out for that Tin Link. Oh, wait. It's a chain.
If you can convince Will to do it, then it's two against one.
I mean, I can kind of get behind it because, as far as the what if there's an answer to Bronze Link thing, just because the Citadel of Old Town then actually plays as Bronze Link protection for us, right? If the Maester is going to be killed that the Bronze Link was on, the Citadel brings all that stuff back to our hand, which saves the Bronze Link. Conversely, if the Bronze Link gets, say, frozen solid, we can then choose that Maester to die for military claim when the opponent attacks us, and bounce it back to hand with the Citadel of Old Town, which discards the Frozen Solid.
That's fair.
Or we could just Krasnos that shit.
Exactly.
But right, yeah. Right, potentially.
Now, I get it. I mean, it's just a kind of a little late idea I had.
Well, I'm perfectly fine with it. Will does bring up some good points.
Okay, I'm down with it. Swap made.
Want to complete the DNA's chambers to add in a copy of the Citadel of Old Town. Done and done. So again, our draw deck is at 60 cards. However, our plot deck is only at 2 cards.
Right.
And last I heard, that is not enough for a plot deck.
Right. And as far as plot decks go, I was kind of looking at our final count here on military icons, because I think we may have to use our plots to make up for that. 11 feels awfully light to me in this deck. Now, hopefully we're going to be killing stuff left and right anyway, but we may need a couple plots both to buy some time. We may need a couple plots to help equalize the field if we're not pulling it together. I think we're definitely going to have to look at compensating for that with our plots.
Fair enough. As far as that goes for the plots, then, are you thinking kind of like Muster the Realm or Loyalty Money combined or potentially both?
You know, that is a really tough call on Loyalty Money combined. I do love that plot. I also love Muster the Realm. We don't have any armies of our own, though.
That's accurate.
So but I we think... Copper. Oh, right, we do have the Copper Link.
I mean, I'm not saying it's the best way to do it or if it'll be particularly useful in this scenario, but we do have a copper.
I mean, it's not a bad idea. Like, you know, if you just so happen to, you know, kneel a character to commit a challenge, and then, hey, this guy's an army, because what else is my copper link doing right now?
I mean, both plots fill very similar roles. Loyalty Money combined, I think, is probably the better plot overall. But, I mean, arguments could be made for both or either. That's why I was bringing it to the group.
I was leaning towards loyalty myself. Daryl made a great point. Or maybe it was you. Yeah. Sorry. Whichever one of you mentioned Copper Link first.
That was me.
Okay. Made a great point. But I think Loyalty Money combined is better for us if we're looking at it early to buy us a little time to set up. Being able to do that Copper Link stuff strikes me as something that we would be more capable of a little later after we pass that setup point.
So here's my question right now, is we currently do not have a restricted card in this deck.
Correct.
Do we go with the Fury? Oh, wait, the Maester's Path. Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Keep forgetting that, well, because I hadn't actually added the agenda.
Yeah, me neither.
Wow.
You know what? Let me both add the house card and the agenda, since I haven't added either one to the deck list yet.
I'm sorry. Apparently, I was the only one that did that to begin with when we, you know, decided what house agenda we were playing.
Correct.
Eating ass out of myself yet again.
Only I have something set. I bet that's probably it. Yep. One of my search options, keeping me from finding it. Still trying to search for plots. Okay, both of those are added. Okay, now Daryl was jumping us over to a new plot, but before we do that, how about final decision? Is loyalty money can buy in the deck?
Well, I mean, I would toss it in.
Okay.
I did bring it up, Will.
I mean, I had already clicked on it as well, but we hadn't actually said yes, we were putting it in. I'm trying to make sure the listeners can follow along.
I mean, I'm totally in favor of it.
Okay.
Daryl?
So much typing going on in this episode. I like it.
Alright, does someone want to jump over to another plot?
I mean, we're going to need at least one
suggestion.
Here, go ahead.
I mean, since we are playing the three Much and Mores, admittedly they are our only any phase events. I mean, I guess we have Nightmares also. With only any phase events, we could potentially do pre-plot. Rule by Decree is fairly popular with that card, ISO here.
You know, I've heard some rumors about that.
Plus,
it's what?
It's just a solid plot overall. Rule by Decree, it's good in general. Am I wrong here?
No, it's a solid plot. Yeah, I'm game.
Yeah, no, yeah, Rule by Decree is very good. I can never make the whole much and more Rule by Decree thing work for me.
Oh, it's a ton of fun.
I mean, it just seems like it blows up in my face. Pre-plot much and more, and it just seems like they always have an answer. Like, oh, here it comes. Dumbass. I hate my life.
I know you do, Daryl. Yeah. I know you do. All right, so we are at four plots.
Okay, now I think we're going to need at least one reset.
I agree.
Possibly two. I don't know. It's a tough call. I tend to look at two resets in general because I think it's really handy, but particularly in decks that wind up being kind of military icon light, like Lani, Power Behind the Throne, and this feels, like I said earlier, kind of military icon light. But we're also going to be doing a lot of killing,
yeah,
hopefully, otherwise, which Lani, Power Behind the Throne generally is not doing, so I'm open to your guys' thoughts on whether two is necessary, or if we're good with just one. Course.
You see, Will, the thing, my thought on this is two necessary? No. I don't think two is necessary because of the amount of, you know, just general character control we have going on.
Uh-huh.
Is two fun? I can get behind two resets.
I mean, two is frequently fun. I don't know how many times I've played against people and they're like, you couldn't possibly be running two resets, right? And then it turns out,
yeah.
Now, granted, I mean, I'm telegraphing that to anybody that plays against me in the future. I always run two resets in every deck, which is a blame.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's awfully fun to do so, I agree.
And fun might not even be the exact word I meant to use, but like you said,
useful? It's surprising?
Useful is a better way to say it. People don't expect two resets. Like, when you play the first one, they're like, oh, yeah, I expect you to battle this turn. And they flood the board, and then you wildfire, and they're like, what? You already played your reset.
Right.
See, my problem with two resets that just scares me is just, we don't have a ton of draw on this deck, and...
Don't?
We don't have very many characters.
I mean...
We don't have, that's fair.
We're already starting out...
I'm just afraid to have a handful of shit, and then Valor Morghulis as one of my last plots left.
Well, as far as that draw goes, I mean, let's actually take a look at that, Daryl, because I thought it was going to be pretty light at first, but I think as we went, it really picked up. Because
I'm pretty sure I already went over the card draw on the deck, but we can again.
Well, I mean, just because I'm differing with Daryl here as to whether we don't have much or not.
There's a good amount.
I mean, we're counting, in my mind, we need to count the fact that we're starting X number of cards into the deck, in this case, seven, as a pseudo card. Do what?
I wasn't even taking that into account.
Gotcha. Well, I personally am going to count that. Then we've got Valerian Steel. We do have Meraxes now. We've got Jogo. It's not strictly draw, it's search, but we do have the Red Warlocks as card advantage. Puts us at five. Again, not draw, but card advantage for Marwyn with his recursion puts us at six items. But the biggest thing, I think, is Sam Carly.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
the whole point of the deck is to keep replaying Ravens over and over and over and over. So once we have that going, assumably Sam's going to be two cards a turn at least.
Also, guys, I do also want to mention that we do, while again it is not necessarily card advantage, we do play much in Moors also.
Right. Their kind of card quality, I guess you could say.
That's
so clearly, card quality, we have quite a bit of, quote, draw, unquote, or at
we
least things that fill that role.
More to draw.
Right. Okay. I mean, yeah, there's definitely more draw than what I was thinking. I'm just so weary. You know, 25 characters is just so light, but, We're already starting with a thin deck and whatnot. So,
I mean, the 25 character point is something to bring up if we are thinking about doing two resets.
Right.
I mean, like I said, one reset is probably all we need.
I mean, Wildfire seems like primo stuff, anyways. Just keeping them down to three, because we're able to kill dudes with Demon's Dance anyway.
Right.
So.
I've been really digging Wildfire in a lot of decks lately, and it seems to be pretty solid in this deck because it lets us keep our Maesters on the board, particularly if we've built them up, while getting characters back down to a manageable amount so the Demon's Dance can pick the rest of them off.
Exactly. So that's our fifth plot.
Yep.
Any ideas from my two fantastic co-hosts?
Still some other kind of offensive plots would be in my mind to round out those
retaliations.
Not terribly offensive by itself, but the two claim is nice, and forcing the opponent to go first so that we have our pick, so to speak, of where we're playing the Demon's Dance, so we know it's always going on the most effective character, is pretty solid.
I completely agree. I'm a pretty big proponent of retaliation in control decks specifically.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that puts us up to six.
Yeah, I have one plot, and we can go through and decide over a number of different plots, but honestly, I kind of want to do Shadows and Spiders, with Stark Kill being so popular out there and whatnot. I feel like we can definitely shut down an intrigue challenge from our opponent with the Lead Link, and we have a fair amount of Tricons and intrigue icons in this deck, and it could give us time to set up something. So that's my proposition for our last plot. I like it.
Now, I do like that plot. It fills a very similar role to Loyalty Money Can Buy. Mm-hmm. Do we need two stalling plots? And if the answer happens to be no, would that be a better stalling plot than Loyalty Money Can Buy?
I mean, I could definitely see it between Lead Link and if we can get Demon's Dance running early, play that on their, good intrigue guy or guys, potentially. Well, I mean, we do have very, very few characters in our deck don't have an intrigue icon.
Unless you guys can think of something better.
Yeah, I'm scrolling through literally every plot in the game right now, seeing if something jumps out at me as being particularly interesting.
I mean, now that I mentioned it, I can definitely get behind Shoutouts and Spiders, and I think I might like it instead of Loyalty Money Can Buy. Because, in general, I use those as early game plots, but having, At the Gates is in general an early game plot. If we need a Maester, if we have that, Loyalty Money Can Buy, and Shadows and Spiders, we may just be hamstringing ourselves with two plots to do the exact same thing that we'd want to play at the exact same time.
I don't know. There's a lot of different ways we can take the idea of plot selection right now, because I almost like the idea of running these two stalling plots, if you will, just because what our deck likes to do, take it slowly, get our Demon's Dance on, play it on some dudes, kill a bunch of dudes. It's going to be a slow deck to begin with, I feel, but...
Yeah. The more I'm thinking about it as I flip through all the available plots right now, I think I'm kind of with Daryl there that, yeah, we're going to need to kind of slow roll the opponent here. And being able to stall for a couple turns would probably be a good option to have available to us.
Okay. I mean, I can get behind that. I just wanted to bring a discussion to the podcast.
I wasn't trying to not discuss.
I think you were.
I just happened to say that I agreed with Daryl, that's all.
Well, that's a foolish choice.
I know,
yeah, that's
generally
a fool's move.
Alright, so by my count, we have 60 cards in the draw deck, 7 cards in the plot deck, 1 house card, 1 agenda.
Yep.
Is that what everyone else has?
Most certainly.
Yep.
Alright, so Daryl, do you want to run us down just to make sure we do all we have, and then any listener might possibly be building at home might have a list right here, and I'm sure we'll also post it up with the episode.
Oh, yes.
All right. Well, most certainly. Well, we have the House Targaryen house card. The Maester's Path as our agenda. As far as plots, we have A Time for Ravens, At the Gates, Loyalty Money Can Buy, Rule by Decree, Wildfire Assault, Retaliation, and Shadows and Spiders. Characters, we have 3 Carrion Birds, 1 Archmaester Marwyn, 3 Linked Advisors, 1 Maester Aemon.
The neutral Maester Aemon specifically.
Yes, neutral Maester Aemon. 3 Old Town Scholars, 3 Conclaves, 1 Daario Naharis, 1 Ser Jorah Mormont.
The one that is our character.
The Daario discards characters too. 2 Red Warlocks, 1 Black Hatchling, the one that can't defend. 1 Jogo.
The one that draws cards.
Krasnos Modnaclaws.
The one that can't be pronounced.
Santa Claus. 2 Samwell Tarleys. 1 Young Griff. 1 Pyat Free. As far as locations, we have 1 Lady Danny's Chambers, 1 Shadow Black Lane, 1 Street of Sisters, 1 Street of Steel, 3 Summer Seas, 3 Temple of the Graces, 1 Meraxes, 1 Aegon's Hill, and 1 the Citadel of Old Town. Attachments, we have the Lead Link, the Bronze Link, the Pale Steel Link, Valerian Steel Link, Tin Link, Copper Link, Demon's Dance, 3 of them, 3 Demon's Dance, 1 Apprentice Collar, 3 Black Ravens, and 2 White Ravens. And then for events, we have 2 Dissensions, 2 Nightmares, and 3 Much and Mores.
And that's a deck.
That's a Sounds deck.
Sounds like it.
It's a deck with very few characters, hopefully.
I mean, I wouldn't call it very few.
Yeah, well, no, but it is on the low end.
3 to 5 less than I usually play.
Yeah. I like to hover around between 28 and 32, but I have built a deck with very few characters before. I realized the other day that my melee deck only had 24 characters in it.
Jeez.
Maybe that's why I got last. I don't know.
You're not a rocket surgeon.
Yeah. But hopefully you guys will try it at home and see if it works for you. See if it's good the way it is. Maybe it needs more characters. Maybe not.
We'll build it up and bring it to the Moonboy Classic.
Props. And slops.
Score. Favorite part of the episode.
Best part of the episode by far.
It's a pretty good part of the
episode. I have a slop.
Okay.
It's to my body, specifically my back. I threw it out again last weekend.
Moving good bodies. Lord, man. You're going to have to start, like, being careful or something.
Yeah. I currently have the body of, like, a 80-year-old man.
80-year-old woman.
But that's probably closer.
Yeah.
But no, quite I don't know. I'm pretty sure it was not that I was specifically moving boxes, but like loading them into a car and doing a lot of twisting while holding boxes of books. I mean, I've moved many things many times, but just when there's a lot of excess movement in my moving, it tends to hurt my back. So I've been in a moderate amount of agony for the past several days.
Man, that is just pretty terrible.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I suffer from chronic back pain. And I will tell you, there's nothing quite like back pain. It is the worst, for sure.
Guess you're gonna have to work on strengthening your core or something like that. I don't know. I'm gonna pretend I know what I'm saying.
You don't.
There's stretches you can do. Going to the chiropractor is always good. Anyway, I have a prop.
Okay.
It is to a band I hadn't listened to probably since I was 16. I want to say. And my iPod just happened to have it on shuffle and turn them on. It is the band Mad Capsule Markets. They are, or were,
name.
Yeah, they were a Japanese, like, rock group, rap rock group, mainly, yeah, rap rock, I guess we'll say, that was together through the 90s mainly. I want to say they broke up in 99 or 2001 or something like that. I don't know how to explain the band. It's just, it's really cool if you can get past the language barrier and you like that style of music. They used to, whenever the Chili Peppers would go on tour, back in the 90s, this band would actually open for them in Japan. So,
oh, interesting.
Pretty cool. Yeah. So check them out. The Mad Capsule Markets, or just Mad Capsule Markets. I don't know. It was a great band, dude. Whenever it turned on, I was like, oh yeah, this is awesome. So it was a fun time indeed.
So, William?
You know, I have something. I can't decide if it's a prop or a slop. I finally finished reading Drood by Dan Simmons tonight, and it was a pretty wild read. And I would normally say, up until finishing it tonight, I would have definitely given it a prop. The premise is awesome. It's about Wilkie Collins, an author who it turns out a lot of people have not heard of in the Victorian period, a friend of Charles Dickens, who most people have heard of. And it's this mystery, and you start wondering, Dickens had a near-death experience. You start wondering, is he imagining things because of this accident? Is all this stuff real? Is Wilkie, who's telling the story, is he just like high on laudanum and seeing things? Or you don't know what's going on, and the story twists and turns so many times. It keeps you off balance, and it's awesome. Until I get to the last 50 to 20 pages, something like that. And the ending is just kind of a real flop. It was so awesome for the first 90% of the book. And then I personally kind of fell apart at the end. So I don't really know if I should call it a prop or a slop. But if any of the other listeners have read that, I'd be really curious what you thought about the ending.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. You were talking about that on the drive up to Worlds, and it sounded like a really cool book. So
yeah, even I got excited about that, and I don't believe in reading.
He doesn't.
So.
Yeah. He doesn't even know how.
Wait. Yeah. You know, we were just talking about reading today, and you know, this does not encourage me to devote the hours it'll take me to read a small children's novel.
See, it's weird. I would still kind of recommend that you guys read it because the ride was wild right up until the end, like I said. And then at least, you know, then I'd have some other people to discuss the ending with and decide if. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just weird and didn't feel, you know, fulfilled by the ending. Maybe other people do.
I don't know why they were laughing.
I don't know either.
I heard an intercourse joke in there, and it made me burst out uncontrollably before I could hit the mute button on my mic.
Gotcha.
All right, so I have a couple more props to video games. One is to the Walking Dead game by Telltale Games. I finished episode 5 with Alicia a few days back, and that was absolutely a wild ride for anyone that has not played it. I highly recommend it, whether you're a fan of the Walking Dead show or comics or not. It is a full of emotion and difficult choices, and it taught me that I'm kind of a monster.
Oh God, why am I not surprised? While we're on video games, I have another prop as well, and it is to Hitman Absolution. Now, this is a prop that could very well become a slop in a later episode, because I'm currently only on the third level, and I'm not getting quite everything out of the game that I was hoping, but I will have to admit that there is a fair amount of challenge with this game as opposed to other games done by Ubisoft. They're the same guys that make Assassin's Creed or Splinter Cell. So if you've played any of those games, they also do Hitman. So, but it's a really, really cool game. And third level, you get to go to a titty bar. And you get to strangle a guy with some piano wire in a titty bar, if that's how you choose to kill him. So that's awesome, strangling in a titty bar. That's a Friday night.
Daryl's a simple man with simple pleasures.
That's right.
Yeah, he is.
So I'm going to jump back to my prop that I was halfway through when Daryl interrupted me to talk about another video game. Let's talk about
I'm sorry, I thought you were done.
Second video game that I meant to talk about. It is a board game. It's also a iOS app, Summoner Wars. I downloaded that over, I think I actually got it on Christmas Day when I was sitting around waiting for dinner to be finished post doing the whole Christmas thing with the family. And for the most part, I have not been able to set it down since. Most of my free seconds, what even if it's just like, you know, a minute here and there, I'll jump it up and play another turn. It is a ton of fun. I highly recommend it. It's a card game, but it plays out similarly to a board game. Like, it's a combination of Magic, like a tactics game. So you actually have a grid played out, and you play your cards onto the grid. They move through it, and they have different ranges they can attack from. But that's all random what you're drawing. So, I don't know. It's hard to explain, but it's a ton of fun. I highly recommend it.
Do you play it on your iPad or your iPhone?
My iPhone.
Your iPhone? Okay.
I mean, I downloaded it on my iPad, but I haven't played it on that yet.
Okay.
It's just too damn convenient to have it on my phone.
Yeah. Yeah, I've played it as well. I mean, it's very enjoyable.
Okay, well, you can have a turn now.
Okay, cool. I'm going to give a little bit of a prop to my Nook HD. I got a new Nook for Christmas, which is the Nook HDs of the brand new one from Barnes & Noble, and it is, I've got the 7-inch one, so it's basically just a 7-inch Android tablet, and I've been super happy with it. It's cool, reading comics and books and whatnot. Yes, I'm finally starting to understand how people become so addicted to poking around on their iPads and checking their email and Facebook and stuff from a pad instead of an actual computer with a keyboard and all. So I won't get into the philosophical debate about how the movement to tablets, though, is going to, I think, force people to be consumers of content rather than creators. I think you're forced to be kind of passive by the touch typing interface. But anyway.
Well, I also don't want you to have that conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'll just leave it at that real broad overview there instead of delving any deeper.
One thing I will ask you, though, is do you feel like the 7-inch tablet is pretty much perfect as far as size? Because I have, it's a 9 or a 10-inch tablet, and it's just too big. You can't take it anywhere.
Yeah, I really feel like the 7 is dang near perfect. I can bring mine down with me on Saturday and let you check it out.
Duh. You should. Yeah, because whenever they announced the iPad Mini, everybody was like, well, you know, you just you know, you might as well just have an iPhone. Well, that's not quite the case. You know, I think that tablets, you know, smaller is actually better. You know, we want something bigger than our phones, but we don't want it so big that it's just, you know, obnoxious.
Yeah, I mean, it winds up being a little bit bigger than a paperback book, which I think is just about perfect to hold on to and read on.
Yeah. Good for you.
Thanks.
All right. Does anyone else have any props or slops? I'm out.
I think that covers me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm good. I'm going to slop winter time for making me sick and delusional. I haven't been delusional. That's a lie.
Daryl's always delusional.
It's true.
Yeah. I mean, I might as well be. There's no draw in this deck. You guys name like 6 great draw engines. Maybe we should put Shadow Parasite in this deck.
With
I don't
one
know what I'm saying.
Card.
Yeah. Oh, well. I regret nothing.
Good. Good man.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to another fine episode of Two Champs, One Chump, and we will see you next week at the same bat time, same bat channel.
Danger Zone! Run away, no reason to be here. gold.